I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, on the soccer front, Magic Jack is not phoning it in. But first, before the PGA Championship began on Thursday, people wondered if this would be the major in which Tiger Woods regained his form. They didn't have to wait long for the answer to that question, but there's still lots to be determined at the Atlanta Athletic Club. I'm joined now by Golf.com Deputy Director David Dusek, who's at the tournament. David, welcome back to Only a Game.
It's good to speak with you again, Bill. Thanks.
Tiger Woods shot 77 on Thursday, and so the question as day two began was not whether he could win the PGA Championship, but whether he would make the cut, and as it turned out, he couldn't. He was 10 over par after two rounds. Are his injuries still bothering him, or is he rusty, or have time and events just done him in?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, Bill, but clearly Tiger Woods is far from being the golfer that basically dominated the 2000s, and he says, and he has said numerous times now, that he is 100% healthy, and that's actually something he feels very good about, the fact that he's able to play consecutive events. He played last week's PGA Tour event in Akron, Ohio, although he finished in the middle of the pack. He feels confident that he's actually feeling good after two tournaments and not feeling any pain, and that's the first time that that's happened in quite a bit, although certainly the way he played on both Thursday and Friday gave him a lot of pain. Tiger was exceptionally frustrated. He was missing the fairway off the tee, both left and right, which is a very bad thing for a professional player. He didn't putt especially well, and his irons were basically distance control is the name of the game when it comes to irons, and his was terrible. So there really isn't any aspect of Tiger's game that's going well for him right now.
Rory McIlroy has been compared to the young Tiger Woods. He shot 70 on Thursday after injuring his wrist early in the round. Was it a triumph for him even to play yesterday?
Rory McIlroy has a lot of talent, and what we learned on Thursday and Friday is that he has a lot of heart. Rory wants to win this tournament very, very badly. He wants to win every tournament that he plays very badly. And on the third hole, when his 7-iron hit a root, it actually bent, and he had to play without a 7-iron on Thursday, and he hurt that tendon. He showed a lot of guts and a lot of determination in just finishing the round, and we don't believe that it really bothered him all that much on Friday. He's shown a lot of heart and determination. He's got tremendous talent, but boy, I question why he decided to keep going, because it looked like he was in tremendous amount of pain. You would hate to see a guy who's 22 years old with that much of a future ahead of him compromise that, either for the short term or the long term.
By playing in pain and playing well enough to make the cut, do you suppose Mr. McIlroy increased the size of his following on the course and among TV viewers?
He already has a humongous following. He's a sensation in Europe. He can't walk the streets without getting mobbed, and slowly but surely he's becoming a superstar here in the United States. I think that this is something that will add to the legend, but it will only add to the legend and the mystique of Rory McIlroy if he's able to get himself a little bit more into the mix and more towards the top of the leaderboard. Right now, I think we all have tremendous respect for the fact that he's there and what he's accomplished so far, but Rory, to this point at least, has not been one of the major players in terms of people who we think may end up winning this tournament.
Steve Stricker tied a PGA Championship record by carding a 63 on Thursday. He said after the round that he wasn't aware that he had a shot at setting a new record. It would have been 62. Do you believe him?
I don't. I think that any time, according to his caddy was very aware that Steve Stricker had a birdie putt on his last hole that would have set a major championship record and given him a 62. He was aware of it but chose not to tell Steve. I can't believe with the number of leaderboards around and the simple math of not having made a bogey and realizing that you've made 7 birdies to that point, that Steve wasn't aware. He's a veteran player. He has yet to win a major championship. He's known as one of the best putters on tour, and he didn't miss a thing on Thursday. So I have to believe that he was very well aware of what he needed to do to set golf history.
Stricker might have felt as if he'd figured the course out on day one, but that did not turn out to be the case yesterday, did it?
No, golf is a very fickle thing, and one of the most difficult things that any professional golfer has to face is coming back the day after shooting an exceptionally good round. Stricker, with that 63, probably knew in the back of his head that there was going to be some bogeys that he was going to make at some point or another on Friday, and he made them early. Surprisingly, with a 3-putt on one of his first holes that sort of started a trend. He battled back a little bit, but he still shot 4 over par for the round, a very un-Stricker-like performance. But it's exceptionally difficult, especially in a major championship, to put together two special rounds, and his round certainly on Thursday was very special.
Up at the top of the leaderboard now, we find Jason Duffner, Keegan Bradley, and D.A. Points. Help me out here. Tell me something about these would-be winners.
You didn't have them in your office pool?
I didn't even have them on the list.
You have to be a pretty big golf fan to be follower of Jason Duffner, Keegan Bradley, and D.A. Points. Although I will say that Keegan Bradley, although being a PGA Tour rookie, did win the Byron Nelson Championship in May at a big tournament in Dallas, Texas, and has had an exceptional summer. Jason Duffner and D.A. Points are what you would refer to as journeymen on the PGA Tour. They're guys who a lot of times when the big boys like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els aren't winning championships, these are a lot of the guys who collect a pretty nice living, thank you very much, from getting a top 10 performance here and there, a top 15, and they're in a very nice high tax bracket without having won a major championship. This is a very different situation for themselves, for John Sendon, who is also tied for third after Thursday and Friday's round. You really have to go down to somebody like Jim Furyk and potentially Stricker and Adam Scott, who won last week, and lurking around there is Lee Westwood also, to really find players that, the casual fan may have heard about, but this shows the depth and the quality of the PGA Tour and of golf right now.
Well, consider those first dozen or so names on the top of the leaderboard halfway through this tournament, and tell me who's most likely to play well enough today and tomorrow to win the thing.
Well, I think that I'll be very surprised if Jason Duffner, Bradley, D.A. Points, John Sennon, again, Anders Hansen, people who, even a pretty good golf fan may have a little bit of trouble learning about or really knowing, if they're going to be able to hold together. The pressure of a weekend in a major championship is something that they haven't experienced, and it's pretty significant. Jim Furyk won the U.S. Open in 2003, and I think that he'll probably stick around. He's putting beautifully. I also think that Steve Stricker is definitely going to keep himself in the mix, but the name that I sort of look at the top of the leaderboard is Lee Westwood, who was 2 under par on his round on Friday, 1 under par for the tournament. I think that he is the guy, although he hasn't won a major, he's number 2 in the world. I see Lee Westwood as being the man to beat.
David Dusek, Golf.com deputy editor, is tweeting from the PGA Championship, and you can follow him at golf.com_Dusek. David, thank you very much for speaking with me.